raised them from the dead. And where in the world is Lydda? I've never heard of that. And Joppa? We're talking another time, another place, a world away, 2,000 years ago. And as we read this book, we have to be careful that we understand some context and that we're able to actually follow along and see where we are. It's helpful if we have a map of where we are. So this does not show that whole region. This is just a little slice of the nation of Israel, biblical Israel. So the blue water to the left where it says Mediterranean, that would extend clear out to the past Spain and Portugal and Italy out into the Atlantic Ocean and out that way. Jerusalem is highlighted on there, and the city of Lydda. In Lydda, this person who is focused on here is named Peter. Peter is one of the 12 men called by Jesus to follow and be with him during his earthly ministry. At this point in the story, Jesus has died, been buried, raised again, was seen alive by many witnesses over 40 days, and ascended back to heaven, leaving his disciples with the commission to wait until they received power from the Holy Spirit. That is where this book of Acts begins. When the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost, those men and the others who were gathered with them, about 120 in the upper room, they become filled with power and the Holy Spirit, and their lives are transformed. They're preaching, they're teaching, their daily activities, they go on in the power of God, not without opposition. There's many people who do not want to hear the message that Jesus is alive. They believe that he was dead and buried and done away with. And so the apostles, among others, are persecuted. They are thrown into prison. In the early chapters of Acts, we see that prominent among them is this man named Peter. You know some things about Peter if you know biblical stories. You know that in the Gospels it says that Peter was the first one that was called to be a follower of Jesus. He had a brother named Andrew. There were 10 other men that Jesus called to follow him. But when they're mentioned in Scripture, and whenever the list of the apostles is given, Peter's always listed first in the list. Peter, along with two brothers, James and John, seem to be part of Jesus' inner circle. So when Jesus was transfigured on a mountain, when he went up and God's glory shone in and through him, it was Peter, James, and John who were the only three that went with him. Peter was known for, among other things, walking on water. Also known for sinking. He calls out and Jesus saves him. Peter was known for being able to just kind of blurt out whatever was on his mind. At one time when Jesus asked his apostles, "Who do you say I am?" They give various answers. He says, "But who do you say I am?" And it's Peter who in Matthew 16 says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." One of the clearest confessions, and Jesus says, "Oh, Peter, I know you. You didn't get that from anybody here. My Father in heaven has given you that knowledge." One of the highlights of Peter's life. You read the story, only a few verses later, Jesus actually calls Peter Satan when Peter opposes Jesus' plan to go to the cross. So he had these highs and he had these lows. He's known for denying Jesus. Three times after he had expressed some bravado and tried to take a man's head off, narrowly missing, and John tells us he cut off one of the high priest's servant's ears. After his denial of Jesus, he's heartbroken. On Easter Sunday, Peter and John run to the tomb. Peter gets there second, but he goes into the tomb and sees that it's empty and there's no one there. that indeed Jesus is risen, that he's gone, just as the ladies had reported it, and as the angels said. At Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes in those believers, it's Peter who stands up and gives the message, the first message ever by a Spirit-filled man who goes through the entire record of Scripture and tells them, this is who Jesus was and what he has done. And this is why you need to repent and believe in him. In Acts 3, it's Peter and John who go up to the temple to pray. They see a man there and he asking them for money. And he says, I got no money, but I'll give you what I got. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And he goes walking and leaping and praising God. And what do the people do? Peter and John get thrown into prison for it. And it's Peter who has continually throughout the book of Acts, up to this place, up to Acts chapter 9, he has taken the major role of what's going on, of what God is doing in and through his church. It's not surprising because in Matthew 16, that same passage where Peter had made this confession of Christ, Jesus Christ himself said, you are Peter, and upon this rock, upon you as an individual, and upon your confession of faith in me, what's been revealed to you from the Father, he says, I will build my church upon you. Peter was going to be foundational with all the apostles, but he had this special role. So when we come to Acts chapter 9, the first part of it was about the conversion of Saul, another one of God's choice apostles, who was going to be brought in to the apostleship and was going to be given a special message as a missionary to the Gentiles. That's the first part of Acts 9. Now, Saul caused quite a ruckus wherever he went. And in the verses immediately preceding this passage that we just read, they send Saul back home. He's been in Jerusalem. They say, you need to give us a break, kind of a timeout. Why don't you go back home for a while and just see what God's going to be doing there. In Acts 9:31, it says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace. Paul was gone, and they had a time of peace and was being built up, walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and multiplied. Then it shifts right back to Peter. Now, Peter, from this passage in Acts 9, all of Acts chapter 10, half of Acts chapter 11, and the beginning of Acts chapter 12 is going to focus on Peter, and then he is going to disappear from view in the rest of the book of Acts. He'll appear briefly in Acts chapter 15. But this is kind of the high point of Peter's life. He's getting ready, and in his ministry, it says that he is walking around. Verse 32, it says, Peter went here and there among them all. The NIV says Peter was traveling around. He'd been in Jerusalem. He decides to travel around. And in that slide that you saw, there is a picture of that map. And you see that he's leaving Jerusalem and he's gone to that place to Lydda. Now, it's interesting to me that you find that in the book of Acts, there's not a lot of plans that are told. You don't get saying that says, here's what Peter did. He sat down, and with the other apostles, he made a plan to evangelize every town within 25 miles of Jerusalem. They divided it up alphabetically. They had 12 apostles, and each one was given a certain town to go to. And as they laid out their plan, you don't see that. The ESV says, he was walking, he went here and there among them. Doesn't that sound like he's just kind of wandering around? It sounds a little bit like Peter is just trusting God to direct his steps on a daily basis, that the Spirit of God is going to tell him where to go and what to do as he goes around. So if you took out your sermon notes and if you're following along in that little half sheet, there's some blanks there. We use these in our life groups, small groups too. It says, Peter travels visiting groups of believers or saints. Saints is a word that is used in the New Testament to describe people that have set apart for God's holy purposes. And so he finds a group of believers or saints there at Lydda, and there it says that he found Aeneas. You read that, you go, wow. He just kind of wandered around and he found the guy. No, the Spirit of God was directing his steps to go exactly where God wanted him to go and what he wanted him to do. When you have that experience, if you are a believer, if you are one of the saints, if you have that understanding that God directs your steps, you find that an incredible adventure. You find it exhilarating. You find it at times scary and terrifying because you never know who the Holy Spirit is going to put in front of you. It's not that our plans are bad. It's just that any plans we make need to be kept under the direction of the Holy Spirit to edit, to change, to rearrange those plans. Here when he sees Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, he's paralyzed. Peter says to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Peter announces healing in Jesus' name. I have the opportunity, and many of you do too, to pray with people who have medical needs. When I pray for people who have medical needs, it's always a challenge to me. It's a challenge to my faith. It's like, am I praying for God to raise this person up and save them? I prayed just this week for a man who was going to have surgery on his knee. I did not pray. We're in the waiting room. We're right outside in the surgery. I don't, God, take that meniscus that's torn and sew it up right now. I just pray, God, would you please use the nurses and doctors as instruments of healing in your hands? Would you give a successful surgery and an uneventful recovery? Would you restore this person to health so that he could continue to love and praise you and either gather with us? He's one of us here. Peter didn't have any of those qualms. Peter knew Jesus Christ had specifically given to his apostles power and authority to heal other people in Jesus' name. So Peter, not in a magical way, not in an incantation, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're healed. I don't get to do that. There may be some day where Jesus would specifically anoint and authorize me to proclaim healing in his name. Doesn't happen. When other people tell you that they are anointed, proclaimed healers in Jesus' name, you say, I see you're wearing glasses. Maybe hearing aids, filling in teeth, maybe wearing a cane. I don't know what's going on. But the mystery of our physical body and the interaction with us as emotional and spiritual creatures means that some of us throughout life carry infirmities, carry weaknesses that are intended to be a vehicle for God to display his grace and glory through our lives to other people, through the patient endurance and suffering of the weakness. At other times, God does use medical people, personnel to heal. And I thank him for that. The man that we prayed for just this last week, he was out of surgery in about an hour and a half and went home and he's doing well. I say, thank you, Lord. May you continue to glorify yourself in that individual's life. In Peter's case, as the foundation of the church, as a specifically commissioned apostle with power to heal, to cast out demons, and to be in that role, he doesn't have any qualms at all. He just says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Then he says, get up, make your bed. If you're a parent, you might want to underline Acts chapter 9, verse 34, where it just says you have biblical authority to tell your student. Acts 9, 34 says, get up and make your bed. Right there in Scripture. Now in Acts 10, we're going to have another time. This will be for the hunters, where the Spirit tells Peter, rise, kill, and eat. So there's something you can find in Scripture for everybody. What he told Aeneas there when he tells him to make his bed is pretty common throughout Scripture, is that when God heals people, they're given something to do. They're not just healed to say, hey, sleep in. It's like, no, you've been healed. You've been in bed for 8 years. Get up. Get on with life. When Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, she gets up and fixes him a meal. There's time after time in Scripture when God heals somebody, there's often something for the person to do. Jesus puts mud on a blind man's eyes. How does that help? I mean, he's already blind, now he's got mud on his eyes. Then he tells the guy, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went and washed and came back seeing. There's often something for the person to do. So in this situation, after Aeneas arises, it says all the residents of that area saw him and they turned to the Lord. The reason and purpose and focus of miracles of physical healing in Scripture is that people turn to the Lord. They didn't turn to Peter. Peter didn't save them. Peter hadn't changed his life. Peter had been an instrument of healing in Jesus' hands to do a miracle. And it says the people in that area saw and they turned to the Lord. If you are facing a physical condition, we want to pray for you. A medical thing, a mental thing, we want to pray for you as a church. And we do pray for you. And we want you to know that if it's a spiritual issue that's between you and God, where you feel distant from God, you feel like you're not in relation, we want to pray for that too, because Jesus Christ heals people mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. The only way is that he puts broken people back together. Now, that passage, that session on the church there at Lydda, and there's a group of believers, it takes about 4 verses. I would think, 4 verses? I mean, you could make a whole ministry out of that. I mean, wasn't there lots of other people, and wasn't there paralyzed, and wasn't there like a billboard, paralyzed people healed here, and then the church be called the first, you know, something-something church of Aeneas, who was healed by Peter, and they had plaques, and no. He healed somebody. People turn to the Lord, and it moves on. There's another town that's listed there, and then you can see that as well. He's going to go to Joppa. Now, Joppa was about 37 miles from Jerusalem, just about another 12 miles on from the town of Lydda. So there's a person in Joppa who has died. Her name was Tabitha, or also called Dorcas. So this lady who died, it's about a 2 days journey. If you're going to walk from Jerusalem to Lydda, 25 miles, that would be about 2 days, about a 10, 12 mile walk. It was another day's walk from Lydda to Joppa. So by the time this person had died, and the news got to Peter, she'd been dead about 3 days. That helps us with some of the background. It says in verse 36, there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha. A disciple is another word. It's just a word for a learner, a follower, somebody who follows Jesus as a disciple. And so we understand that while there are 12 apostles and specifically designated disciples in the Bible, that I am a disciple. If I follow Jesus and if I'm learning from Jesus what it means to be a follower of him, I'm a disciple. You're a disciple if you know Jesus. And irrespective of whether you're a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, you can be a disciple of Jesus. She has been known, it says, in those days she became ill and died. Before that, it says, she was full of good works and acts of charity. She was one who went about doing good. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, one of the reasons God saves people is that they would be able to perform good works. They would be able to do the works that God had pre-set aside for them before they were saved. There's not a word for ministry in the Bible that is as common as the word for doing good. If you want to minister for Jesus because he has saved you, find somebody to do good to. Every week in the bulletin, we list things, and we may list them a little bit, not incorrectly, but we list them different. When we say, we have a need for somebody in Awana, What we have is if you are called by God to minister to children, and you will pass our background check and go through the things that we do to protect the safety of our children, and you want to do good to children, we got stuff for you to do. We've got an opportunity for you. If you want to work with students, if you want to have a student ministry, don't think about what I can do as a minister. Just think, how can I do good to middle schoolers, high schoolers, maybe college students? If you want to be in a life group, in a small group ministry at church, and you want to say, I'd like to be kind of in a ministry of small groups, all you got to think is, what would it look like for you to do good to other people in a small group as you gathered around a Bible study or reviewed something? That's such a powerful phrase, a great word for what it means to serve others in Jesus' name. In fact, in Acts 10, Peter's going to summarize Jesus' ministry, where he said he went about doing good. And that idea is something that Tabitha, or Dorcas here, had down pat. Well, obviously, if she's known for doing good, then people are going to be very upset when she dies. And so in verse 37, she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. A little bit odd. Her corpse was prepared for burial, just not yet. When somebody died in that culture, they would wash them. I've been in a culture in Africa where I've seen that. They would put somebody on a bed and they would have a ritual that when the person had died, it was a corpse. We do that here, but you know who does it here? Funeral home. In that culture, it was the family and friends, those who knew and loved her. They would lovingly take care of the body. They washed her body. They prepared her for burial. And she should have been buried within like 24 hours. But they don't bury her in the ground. In fact, they put her in the upper room. There was a separate room in the house. Maybe Tabitha had some means, had a larger house and had an upper room. It's kind of strange. She should have been placed in the ground. And instead they put her in the upper room. They had a kind of a hope. They had an idea. And somebody said, Hey, wait. I know we just washed her. I know we just prepared her. She's all ready to go. She's all ready to go in the ground. Let's put her in the upper room. And I'm thinking, people are going, you know, you're right. Why are we going to do that? And somebody says, I got it. Peter, one of the apostles of Jesus, I heard he's at Lydda, just not too far away. And I heard he recently touched and healed somebody who was paralyzed. Maybe Peter would come and do something for Dorcas. And so they sent a couple of people to run and get him right away. And they tell him, come now. I mean, there's not a lot of time. They say, you need to be here right now. It says Peter went at once. Now, at this point, this story has some similarities with other key people in the Bible. In the Old Testament, in 1 Kings 17, Elijah, there's a lady at a place called Zarephath. And Elijah is ministering to her. He's been in the area. He's been doing good. He's been a prophet of God. And this lady's son dies. And she goes to Elijah, and Elijah raises that boy from the dead. Now, a little bit later, Elijah's successor, Elisha. Elisha has helped a lady, a widow lady. Named a widow from a place called Shunem. So sometimes she's called the Shunammite widow. That's just the town she was from. And her son dies. And it's like, okay, it's not a good deal to be a prophet and people's children are dropping dead. Elisha goes and Elisha raises that widow's son. And Jesus in Mark chapter 5, I encourage you to read it. Those who are in your notes, read those passages later. Jesus in Mark chapter 5, there's a man named Jairus who was a synagogue ruler whose daughter was very, very sick. Jesus is delayed on the way to see her and she dies. And the people that come to get Jesus say, oh, it's over. Don't bother him anymore. We wanted him to come while she was sick, but now that she's dead, what can he do? Nothing. And Jesus says, Don't worry. Just believe. And Jesus goes anyway. When Jesus gets there, he says to the family, when he sees the little girl in the upper room, he goes, she's not dead, she's just sleeping. And people did what you and I would be tempted to do. They laughed. They were like, she's dead. We know dead when we see dead. I mean, she's gone. Jesus sends everybody out of the room except Peter, James, and John. Peter is with Jesus when he raises Jairus' daughter by taking her by the hand and having her get up. Now, Peter is in a similar situation. A lady is dead. They come to him and they say, and as we read this, we're supposed to read, wow, this is like Elijah, Elisha, Jesus, and Peter? Peter the fisherman? Peter the one who denied Jesus? Peter the one who sank when he tried to walk? Peter is in that company of people, of amazing prophets of the Old Testament, and Jesus himself? Peter sends all the grieving widows away, and he prays. Now, the grieving widows were there was because they were showing Peter all the stuff Dorcas had made from them. Her believing friends, they were honoring Dorcas, even in her death. You see, as a woman in that culture, if you didn't have, Scripture doesn't tell us, she had no husband to defend her honor. She has no son that is mentioned in the story to defend her honor. But where she has honor as a woman is in the company of other believing people, in the company, the community of faith. And she has done such good to them throughout their lives that they bestow a covering of honor over her life, even in death, where they are saying, no, she's a good woman. She knew and loved God and served him, and she served us, and they honor her as she's showing them the garment she wore. And there's a little bit of humor in there. It's almost like, dude, she can't be dead. She didn't finish this blouse. You know, I mean, this, you know, she sewed part of it, and I ordered a top and something else. And we really need her to come back, man, because she did such good work, you know. They're honoring her. Peter sends him out and he prays. It says that in verse 40, turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. Now, if you were to take that word and you were to put Tabitha in Aramaic, the word arise is in Greek, but if you use the same Aramaic word, it would be the exact same phrase that Jesus used with Jairus' daughter, with the exception of one letter. Peter says, Tabitha, arise, or Tabitha cum, and Jesus tells the girl, we have the Aramaic in Mark 5, Jesus tells the girl, Talitha cum. It's like Peter had been paying attention. He knew what to say in that situation. And then it's kind of interesting. The only thing that Tabitha does in the story, the only action, she's laying there. She opens her eyes and sits up, sees Peter. And he takes her by the hand. She's presented alive. It's a resurrection. It's not a resuscitation. It's not, she was just unconscious. She's probably dead for about 3 days. It's a resurrection in the same way of Acts chapter 1, verse 3. It says that Jesus presented himself alive to many witnesses. And again, many people believed in the Lord in Joppa. It became known throughout all Joppa, many believed in, not Peter, they believed in the Lord who had power over life and death, sickness and health. Peter stays in Joppa for some days with a man named Simon, who is a tanner. He accepts hospitality in Simon's home. Kind of funny that his name is, Peter's other name is Simon. So Simon is staying in Simon's home. When it says Simon was a tanner, it doesn't mean like he had a bed in his backyard. It means that he was processing dead animal skins. That would have made him an unclean kind of occupation. God is doing something in Peter, and it's all building up to something of what's going to happen next. And that is that Peter is going out. He's being moved. He's gone to Lydda and he healed the sick. He went to Joppa and he raised the dead. You think, what could be greater than raising the dead? Well, those few little snippets of Peter's life, what's greater is coming in Acts 10 and 11. God is going to send him to preach to total, complete Gentiles. The scripture word is uncircumcised Gentiles. He's going to send him to Caesarea, and it's like light years away. Peter has no conception. Healing the sick, raising the dead, what could be greater? Taking the gospel to the nations in a way that's just going to totally blow Peter's mind. As we look at Acts 10, it's going to give us an understanding of what do you do with Old Testament laws today that talk about clean and unclean? We're going to talk about that. Sometimes people say Christians, they just pick and choose what laws they want from the Old Testament, right? It says all this stuff. You're not supposed to eat shellfish. I eat lobster. Does that make me a bad person? I have, you know, clothing wore, you know, made from two different kinds of cloth. It says don't do that, Leviticus 19. Is that it? I mean, you Christians, you're just kind of picking and choosing. We're going to see why. It's going to be this kind of total revolution for Peter that the way to please God, the way to worship God, no longer depends on clean or unclean things. The way to worship God is a heart that is given to God through Jesus Christ. And it's going to be so total. That's how me, as a Gentile, I get to be in the family of God. Because of what happens in the next chapters. Now, all of that seems pretty cool. I would think if I was Peter, I'd like, oh man, I'd heal the sick, raise the dead. Do that any day. God said, no, I got even somewhere. It scared Peter to death to think he was going to go in to a Gentile's house because he was himself, by doing that, going to become unclean and unable to approach God. His own relationship with God was on the line. And God's going to walk him through that. It's going to change the rest of history and what comes up. So, what do we get to do with that? Pray for the sick? Yeah. God will raise the dead. Those who are in Christ Jesus will be raised. I've never seen anybody raised. I've seen people come back to amazing physical health. I've heard stories. Know people personally who had a diagnosis, go into the doctor. Doctor goes in to do the operation and says, oh, looks like you're clean. You're good. God does stuff like that. But God is dealing with your heart and my heart to cleanse us from sin and make us right with God, even beyond any of that. So what we're going to do, we're going to sing just one verse of our song, Day by Day, number 370. Keith is going to come, and we're going to come back to this reminder of this table. It's like, this is what we are doing here. This is what we are preaching. This is what we proclaim, how we get right with God through what Jesus Christ has done for us. Lawrence is going to lead us. Why don't you stand, and we'll sing just one verse as